Haggai chapter 1, 1 to 15, God's call to complete the temple construction. Haggai, the first prophet after the Babylonian captivity, was assigned by God to direct Israel to get back to the work of rebuilding the temple after the work had been delayed for 15 years. Since the civil governor Zerubbabel and the high priest Joshua were the leaders of the people, Haggai addressed primarily them in regard to the temple completion issue. Because in a patristic culture, what happens with the male leaders is what the people generally do. Well, Haggai chapter 1, 1 to 15, expresses God's initial call to complete the temple. And we view it for our application. I want to read that passage, and then we'll look at it. Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jotzadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people saith, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's temple should be rebuilt. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed or paneled houses, and this temple lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but none of you are warm. And he that earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, and I will pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my temple that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from its dew, and the earth is stayed from her produce. And I called for a drought on the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the olive oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jotzadak the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. The people did fear before the Lord. Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jotzadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came, and they did work on the temple of the Lord of hosts, their God. In the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. Okay. Haggai began his ministry by being led of God to address the governor Zerubbabel and the high priest Joshua, that through them the returned Hebrew exiles might be led to return to the temple building work. God noted that the people had said that the time had not come for the Lord's temple to be rebuilt, their reason for not finishing the temple. Now, from the historical context back in Ezra chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, we know that Gentile foes had persuaded Persia's king Artaxerxes, who ruled before Darius, to rule that the work be halted. So we might think that the people had just cause to believe that God had used the emperor to signal that the time was not right to finish the work. However, this was an ungodly excuse, as revealed in Haggai 1, 3-11. As God clarified through Haggai, the people had built their own houses using expensive timber that had to be imported while leaving God's temple work unfinished. This expensive timber was cedar. And you know what cedar does? It drives the bugs away. And it was great because in those days they had bugs in the house. They didn't have screens and doors like we do. So you wanted cedar wood. And the cedar would keep the bugs away. And of course, it was odoriferous. I don't know if you've ever been into a shop in the woods, but if they have stuff made of cedar there, you can smell it throughout the whole area. But it was expensive. It was imported. It was imported from Lebanon, north of them, and it was pricey. So the people had built their own houses. They had used expensive timber to do that and left the Lord's temple bare. Now, God didn't like that. In addition, the livelihoods of the people had been depleted in accordance with the judgments of the Mosaic covenant, signaling that God was punishing them for sin. Now, the Mosaic covenant provided that if Israel sinned in the dispensation of the law, the people would suffer agricultural and material lack. There'd be financial lack, there'd be a lack in the produce, the animals wouldn't multiply, the crops wouldn't bear. The heavens above would be like brass. They wouldn't, you know, rain. It would just be hard. So this was the experience of the returned Hebrew exiles. They'd sown much, but reaped little. They ate, but it wasn't filling for them. They drank, but were not filled with drink. They clothed themselves, but they could not stay warm. And the wages they earned were exposed to inflation. Hello. So that it was like putting coins that had been earned into a bag with holes in it. That's a good picture of inflation. That says just about what it does. And that's what we're facing today. And I wonder how much of this is of the Lord. It's interesting. Well, God's prophet then directed that the people go up to the mountain and bring wood to build the temple of the Lord, that he would then take pleasure in it and be glorified. And we're going to find out later, after they did do this, then the Lord says, okay, you mark the day when you started to come back to the temple. Things are going to change as far as the produce of your crops and the welfare of your financial welfare you watch. So anyway, however, due to their failure to address God's will of rebuilding the temple, the people had looked for much in their livelihood endeavors, but it had come to little. When they brought the produce and the wages earned home, God had figuratively blown on it to disperse it as punishment for their not working on the temple. The heaven above had withheld its dew from irrigating crops so that the harvest had lacked. God had called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the olive oil, on what the ground produced, and on men, and on cattle, and the work of their hands. In other words, even their population, you know, was supposed to be multiplying. It was cut down. The Lord was, you know, cutting back on everything. So, the reason is, this doesn't mean that God's angry if we don't give to the building program or the church over taking care of other things. Not necessarily. That has to be the will of God. But in those days, see, the Messiah was supposed to come in fulfillment of prophecy. He was supposed to come to his temple. He can't come to his temple if there's no temple. So it's holding, you know, God doesn't, and there's a timetable. Daniel has said the Messiah is going to come in on, you know, 69th week, at the end of the 69th. So they got to get going here and get the temple done so that it's ready for the Messiah when he comes. Well, anyway, just 23 days later, the governor Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest with all the remnant of the Hebrew exiles obeyed the word of God through Haggai, revering the Lord. So the combination of the prophet explaining why they were having financial difficulties and what they should do about it, coupled with the fact that they were indeed having financial difficulties, got to them and they said, well, it certainly wouldn't hurt to go back and try working. Let's see what happens. You know, we don't have anything to lose. So they went. They went back. 23 days after he preached this, the whole group came together. Haggai then spoke as the Lord's messenger to encourage the people, saying, I'm with you, declares the Lord. This assurance of God's presence to guide and empower them should have cast all fear and apprehension about accomplishing their design task of rebuilding. It should have cast all that fear out. Well, the Lord himself was involved in this movement. He stirred up Zerubbabel and Joshua. He stirred up all the people so that 23 days later they came to the temple site and resumed the reconstruction work. This is interesting. This is always a hope. If you're ever teaching a class, and God wants you to teach that class, the response to your teaching is God's business. It's not your business. That's not your burden. Your job is just to teach it. God will work on the hearts. And boy, does he. He has a way of doing it. So the lesson is, the returned Hebrew exiles claim that the Persian Emperor Artaxerxes' order to cease work on the temple indicated that it was not God's time to finish it, where the real problem lay in errant priorities of putting one's own prophets ahead of the Lord's calling. When this sin was exposed by Haggai and by God's withholding material and livelihood blessings and punishment for not working on the temple, the people returned to the work. Now, we've got a bunch of applications here. I probably could have gone on for maybe a page on this, but anyway, first of all, may we put God's ministry assignments for us ahead of our personal interests. And boy, is that important. We all have personal goals, and there's nothing wrong in having personal goals or personal interests. But God has interests. And the Bible says that we were not made for ourselves. We were made for God. And we were made for the glory of God. And God created man for his glory. So what we need to do is to put God's priority for us, what he wants to do with our lives, ahead of what we want to do with our lives. And that's what the Lord told me. I called him to the ministry back in, it was October 1969. I wanted to do something for the Lord. The Lord says, no, your will doesn't count here. This is what I want you to do. So we have to put God's ministry first. Second, if God calls us to start a ministry, may we complete it. You know, God never calls us to start something and just leave it half done. He wants it done. So we've got to complete it. Number three, may we not read God's will as being what some secular ruler dictates. Okay? For secular rulers and God do not always agree with each other. I am reminded of Acts 5:29, where Peter told the Sanhedrin, it's better for us to obey God than men, or it's better for us to obey the Lord than you. You guys tell us you don't want us to preach. God wants us to preach, so we're going to preach. And that's what we need to do here too. We need to follow God as a priority. Now, generally, yes, we're supposed to obey the president. We're supposed to obey the governor and the mayor and all that, all the various levels of government. But if what they command us to do is diametrically opposite what God commands us to do, we have to obey God over the official. And then four, if God calls us to give a corrective message like Haggai did, may we trust him to make the message impact others. We should never sit there and kind of play politics and say, boy, that's a tough message. Boy, I don't know if they're going to accept it. I better water it down a little bit. No. I've learned as a pastor, if God gives you a message, you give the message. You can be kind about it. You can be discreet and everything, but let the truth lay out there because God wants that truth out, and he wants his people to have it. So I find this is refreshing. These dear prophets, they were wonderful men of God, but this guy just came out, he laid it on the line. You know, if you want to be blessed in your lives, you're going to have to get back and finish the temple. That's what God's called us to do. Let's get with it. And they did. And as a result of that, eventually we're going to find out that the Lord powerfully blessed him. Haggai prophesied the same time as Zechariah. Zechariah dealt a lot more with the future coming of the Messiah in his kingdom that was coming. And in fact, Zechariah prophesies a lot about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Zechariah 11. That's going to be the priceless passage we're going to cover. But Haggai was just much more of a hands-on, practical man. We got to get back to the building of the temple. Get with it. You know? And that's a different type of ministry, but it's an important ministry. Some people need to just, you know, call a spade, and get with it. Where Zechariah was more contemplative and was thinking more about different things. But there's a role for people who are like Haggai to call it like it is and let the people of God know the truth.